The following presentation is brought to you by Rant Entertainment Media. For the entertainment you love and the opinions and history you crave, visit rantenradio.com. The following is brought to you by the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment.
The phone is ringing. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Call Time 12. Just call my buddy Kevin Garifo. Shining Wizards Kevin to you. And is he going to answer? There he is. What's up, Kevin?
What's up, Tone? How you doing, brother?
All right, man. I had a little bit of a problem. I got a delay, but it's all cleared up, and we are talking to you. How's your snow day going?
The last 2 days have been literally the 48 hours of hell, bro. Like, the equivalent of 48 hours from absolute hell.
Why? What's been going on?
But my car died on the way home from work yesterday.
Were you close to home, at least?
Not even close. I was in Jersey City.
At least you were close to work, right?
Nope. I was stuck... I was stuck on the highway, on the side of the highway.
Oh, that sucks, dude. How long did it take for him to come get you?
The car was able to start up again, so now I was able to drive a little further to, like, a parking lot of a Home Depot.
Well, that's not bad.
But it wasn't bad, but, I mean, like, it was 2.5 hours waiting for AAA to tow my car back to West Orange.
Well, of course. That's the thing that sucks. They'll get to you eventually. It's just, you know, when you need them to get there, you're going to have to wait. That's the thing that sucks about it.
Yeah, and then I get to the body shop in West Orange, and like the tow guy, you know, I ride with the tow guy, so whatever. I give him a tip, not thinking that I have to pay the tow guy. I'm thinking AAA's covering this, but no. So I got to pay the tow guy. He's like, it's 100 even. I'm like, dude, I got like $35 on me. Do you have the credit card dealie on your machine or whatever? He's like, no, I don't got it with me. So now I'm sitting here with this guy in a tow truck. Like, what am I? I owe this guy $100. Thank God, my dad was coming to pick me up, so I was able to get him to bring the money, so I was able to pay the tow. But it was annoying. It was like four. I didn't get home till like after 9 o'clock. It was brutal.
But this yutz comes to pick you up, and he doesn't like. He just forgets his credit card swiper. I mean, like, what the fuck?
I guess. I mean, I thought that was pretty commonplace nowadays, especially like I didn't expect to get like broken down. You know, it's not like I planned. Like, oh, you know what? I better bring $100. My car's gonna break down today.
This is truth, so, my friend. Know. This is truth. It's nice to see that you got home safely, though.
Yeah, I did. I was able to get home, and then but today I had to work from home, so you know that was fun. So now I'm podcasting from home. So there you go.
Did you have to do any shoveling?
I did a little bit. We got the snowblower, though, so it's not bad. Oh, that's another thing. That broke, too, at the end of the day.
Oh, shit. Well, all right. But it broke after you were done, right?
Correct.
Okay, so at least you got through the day with it. That's a good thing.
Yeah, that was, like, the bright spot. But those things aren't cheap, so.
No, of course not. Of course not. I shoveled my house. Then I walked up to my mother-in-law's. Thank God she's got the heavy-duty blower. It only took me, like, a half an hour to do her house. And then, like, later on this afternoon, all over again, I was back outside moving snow around the driveway and salt and stuff. It sucks. My kid's school already got canceled for tomorrow, which I thought was
a little ridiculous,
but it is what it is. Everybody's canceling.
Yeah, but it's all right, man. I got myself a nice little cocktail down here in Studio L, the laundry room again.
That does not surprise me in the least. I really thought that you were going to do a show from the hat tonight.
No, I don't have no car.
Yeah, but come on, bro. You're all about Uber. We know Kevin. Kevin loves the Ubers.
That's very true. I do enjoy a good Uber.
Well, then again, you probably spent your last $100 to get your car towed.
Very good point.
What was wrong with the car? Did you ever find out?
No, I don't know. Because we took it there last night and we just left it for them to look at. I mean, I doubt anyone was going to look at anything today.
Yeah, this is true.
So they'll probably have to wait to get their lot plowed and then, like, dust off all the cars in the... in the lot before they can even remotely attempt to see what's wrong with it.
So I take it tomorrow's another work from home day for you.
It's looking like it. I could see if I can take my dad's car into work if they're open. But dude, the complex where we work and Mega Powers will tell you this, it's the absolute worst. They don't treat anything. So it's a big industrial complex. So I guarantee you, I probably will be working from home tomorrow, basically.
So. Well, I'm trying to juggle a couple things here tonight. I just want to bring the people up to speed. We are not obviously broadcasting video tonight because I don't know if you'd want to stare at me or Kevin, but we are on rantemradio.com. This is the first call time for Rant EM Radio, actually. Yay. And I put it out there on Facebook if anybody has questions, and I figured out how to turn the dings off so we're not going to be interrupted by doorbells, which is awesome.
Nice.
The things I could figure out when I'm under pressure, it's just unbelievable. I can't see for shit, but I could figure things out.
Wait, so you open the phone?
What do you mean?
Wait, so if people have questions, what, they're going to call
in?
No.
No. I put it on the face space. And I turned off the dingings on Google, so this, you know, because I use Chrome. So when people start sending us questions and messages and whatnot, we don't start hearing like ding, ding, ding all throughout the show. By the way, speaking of the show, we were supposed to have Tier 1 World Champion Darius Carter tonight. We've rescheduled him for the 28th, so he will be in 2 weeks just before he takes off on his WrestleMania excursion. Now, have you decided if you're going to be around or you're going to be already down to Orlando at that point?
No, I leave very early the next morning, the 29th, and by like the flight is like 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'll probably have to be up at like 4 just to like get my stuff down there, even though I'm hoping that it's not super packed that time of day. But I don't want to take any chances. I've never really flown
a
lot.
Of course not. It'll be me and the racist interviewing Darius Carter on the 28th, so...
No, I mean, we get out of there at what, 9:30, 10? I should still be able to do a show, and then I'll just worst case scenario, stay up all night, sleep on the plane, and
listen. No pressure. I mean, you got a lot to worry about with the WrestleMania weekend, doing WrestleCon with WrestlePro and the WrestleMania. A lot of wrestling going on in Kevin Garifo's life the next couple weeks.
I'm excited, man. I've never like been to Orlando, not since I was like 2. I mean, like I'm going down with the. Hanging out with the WrestlePro guys all week, so it's going to be fun. And hit WrestleCon and do all that. So I'm very excited, and I can't wait to get down there. And if you're all down there and you see me, just say, "What up, Kevin?"
What up, Kev? And if you really want to impress Kevin, go to shiningwizards.com/merch and pick up a shirt so you can wear it while you're down there and rep the Wizards with pride.
Very, very good point, Tony. Very good point.
Like that, I snuck that in there. And if you don't mind, before we get into the brass tacks of the show, like we like to say here, I actually tried some Blue Apron this afternoon, being home on the snow day in between snow shoveling sessions. The wife and I made a Chipotle meatloaf. It was actually very tasty and very spicy. We had some roasted potatoes to go with it. Very good times, I got to tell you. Very good times.
I'm glad to hear that because, you know, we want Blue Apron to reap the benefits of the Shining Wizards and vice versa. Let me ask you this, though. I'm not familiar with the whole concept of Blue Apron. Do they deliver it and then you got to cook it? Or could you just microwave it? Or do you have to actually, like, oven it out and, like, make it yourself?
Well, let me tell you. The box arrived on Sunday afternoon, which was great because now you've got your 3 meals for the week, so you can make them whenever you want. We just chose to have one for lunch today because everybody was home, you know, because of the snow. But what they do, Kevin, is they get... the freshest ingredients you can buy anywhere.
That's
from
right.
Local farmers,
right.
Growers, all that goes up. Matter of fact, the recipe today for the meatloaf needed one farm fresh cage free egg. And would you believe they ship the egg in its own little house and it's all taped up and ready for you to open it up and crack that egg and add it to the other fresh ingredients? So everything comes to you fresh. And it's not as easy as throwing it in the microwave. But it might as well be because they give you step-by-step instructions on how to prepare the entire meal. Believe me, anybody.
Oh,
it's.
So wait,
go ahead.
So they send the ingredients and you got to make it yourself.
Oh yeah, but it's easy as can be. It's step-by-step instructions, and then you have the recipe, so you can go out and buy the ingredients again and make it whenever you want, which is awesome.
Dude, that's amazing. I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And if you go to shiningwizards.com and you click that Blue Apron banner, you're going to get $30 off your first order. Thank you.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
So, I mean, we have some sort of Moroccan chicken. Yes, Dom Morocco chicken is going to be next on the menu. It comes with a meatball sub and a broken hip manager. And we also have some sort of curry shrimp to make that near the end of the week. So I'll let you guys know about that. But trust me, like, I was skeptical. It was so easy, and it's delicious, and it's pretty cheap. So go for it. Give it a shot. $30 off. Cancel anytime. Yada, yada, yada. BlueApron.com. But buy it through ShiningWizards.com. Go to ShiningWizards.com. Click that banner. Kevin, before we move on, do you have any plugs where you're going to be this week? Are you braving out into the snow to do some comedian stuff?
No, I'm good, man. I haven't been booked a lot. So as the late Dennis Stamp would say, I'm not booked.
Well, he did get booked in the big wrestling ring in the sky, unfortunately. Dennis Stamp passed away earlier this week at the age of 68. Apparently he was dealing with cancer, which was in remission, but wound up affecting his bone marrow. And I had heard on what's his name's podcast, Bruce Pritchard's podcast, we'll get to him in a few minutes, that they were trying to book Dennis Stamp for the show, but they had found out that he was in bad shape, and unfortunately he passed away. A quick this and that about Dennis Stamp. He was the Minnesota State champion of wrestling in 1965 in the 175-pound weight class. He wrestled for the AWA. He was the 1971 Rookie of the Year. He worked for the Funks, as we all know. He received most of his notoriety for telling Terry Funk that he was not booked and bitching and moaning about having to be part of the Terry Funk first retirement in a series of 763. But unfortunately, Dennis Stamp no longer with us.
Yeah, and were you listening to the Bruce Pritchard podcast, the Beyond the Mat one?
Is yes.
That where you got that from?
Yeah, oh, well, I got it from there, yeah. And then his co-host, oh, God, I forget the guy's name. You know who I'm talking about.
It's Chad. Hey, it's Chad, right? Is that his name?
Chad? I forget. But the dude was like, you know, they don't book people on the show, but they would make an exception to book Dennis, and they tried to book him, but it just kind of sucks. I mean, look, he was 68 years old. He was suffering from cancer. I mean, he lived a long life, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes it should just hit you hard, so.
Yeah.
Oh, Conrad.
Conrad, that's it. Good call. Yeah, the most recent episode was WrestleMania 15, which was pretty interesting in and of itself. I've actually been branching out and trying to listen to more and more varied and different kinds of podcasts, but I always come back to the wrestling because I just love hearing the behind-the-scenes stories and stories from the road. That shit interests me more than anything, to be honest with you. Love
it. It really does. And if you like Bruce Pritchard's, give Tony Schiavone. It's basically the same format as Pritchard. It's Conrad asking questions about a certain event in history. But Tony, it's good to hear from Tony Schiavone again and hear his points on stuff. I started listening to the last one where it's about the last Monday Nitro, and he was actually there. So it was a good listen, too. Both those podcasts are good. Give those a listen.
Yeah, and you know what? I feel that sometimes it's almost like pulling teeth to get Bruce Pritchard to talk about stuff. But once he gets going, I mean, as you know, because you've interviewed him, once he gets going, like, then he's good. But every once in a while, like, he'll get a question. And he'll be like, yeah, so? It's like, come on, dude, just elaborate. He's like, it's like you listen to Jim Cornette. Jim Cornette's got no problem with just, like, as soon as you ask him something, he'll just run with it. Sometimes a little too long, but he'll run with it. Bruce Pritchard, sometimes I feel like you got to pull his teeth a little bit, you know?
Yeah, definitely. About certain topics, especially about how much guys get paid for doing different things. He'll never, ever talk money, which is respectable. But that's one of the topics off the top of my head that I know he just doesn't talk about. And then you're right. He'll kind of leave you wanting more information. He'll give you something, and then he'll just stop. And then Conrad has to ask like four or five different times, and he just gets stonewalled each time. But I mean, overall, it's a fun show. So
yeah, but the other thing that kills me is every 5 fucking minutes with the Miller Lite plugs. Jesus Christ!
The Miller Lite plugs, like the law firm plugs, his mortgage. They do a lot of commercials, that's for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind the other commercials so much, but like, just sometimes they'll just like, it'll be like 20 minutes straight. They're constantly like, "Yeah, man, can't get through the show without another Miller," and they're cracking them open, and you know. don't know, kind of reminds me of Pharrell on the bench going haywire, you know?
Kind of reminds me of us when we tried to consistently get Twisted Tea to be our sponsor. And every time we'd open one, we'd say, have another Twisted Tea.
Yeah, they're like, here, have a koozie and a keychain. Thanks for supporting us. Jackasses. All right, so we've got a little bit to talk about. I don't know if you want to crack us open with any news or if you want me to start with some news or do you want to go in the Raw or the Impact direction? I have notes on Impact, just an FYI, but I don't need to do a full, you know, meh report. But there were a couple things I wanted to talk about, but we can go whatever direction you want. You want to cover some more news and notes first?
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever you have, like, I have WrestleZone up in front of me, so I could just look at headlines, but if you have actually stuff prepared that you wanted to go over, you could just fire away, and then I'll just bounce off of them, and we'll see where we go. Total freestyle, brother.
Okay, let's start with some easy stuff. Pete Gass has a autobiography coming out next week. I don't know too much more about the Pete Gass outside of wrestling. I think he did an interview with Rolling Stone maybe a couple of months ago where he was talking about behind the scenes with Shane and stuff like that. I mean, it sounds like it could be an interesting read. I'm just not too sure of, like, you know, what are we going to find out about Pete Gass? Like, what does he have to say, you know?
I'm sure just like anyone else that's ever been a fly on the wall at any point in WWE, and don't get me wrong, he was more than a fly on the wall there. He was there for a substantial amount of time and had then played, like, not significant roles, but was a part of a lot of different storylines and angles and events. So I'm sure he's got a lot to talk about, especially if the book is like, he can fill a book with his wrestling stuff, but I don't know if it's more outside his personal life. Cause wasn't he like a businessman? Like, wasn't he like shoot from Greenwich and all that stuff and Wall Street or what?
Yeah, he had some position at a company I don't know if it was an executive, but he was a higher up. And I think the story goes where Shane was like, hey, you want to come do TV? And then, hey, you want to come hang out at WrestleMania? And hey, you want to become a wrestler? And then eventually it was like, well, it's either the job or the wrestling. And he said, well, fuck the job. I'm going to be a wrestler for a while.
I mean, yeah, I mean, let's see what this says here. Spot interviews. Untrained former college football player. The title of the book is Looking at the Lights, right? I think that's what it's called, right?
And, like, legitimately a friend of Shane McMahon, right?
Yeah, legit shoot friend.
Oh, so he's probably got plenty of inside stories even about just hanging around the McMahon family, probably even as a kid.
Well, again, I mean, the forewords were written by Edge and JBL, so that says a lot right there.
Well, it's about time JBL did something except beating the shit out of these poor guys. You know, JBL's got a reputation of taking liberties with some fellas, you know, all in good fun, you know, but whatever. So it's nice that he write the foreword for the guy. That's pretty cool.
Wow, it's weird. The cover of his book is him, like, not in Mean Street posse gear. He's doing, like, a leapfrog and, like, what looks like jeans and a muscle shirt.
Well, you know, why not?
It's weird. But, Pete Gasparino, or Gasparino.
Is he the one that tapped an artery during the hardcore match at WrestleMania?
I could, dude. Couldn't tell you, but I know which one he's not. He wasn't the one with the bleach blonde and the beard. He wasn't Joey Abs. He was basically like the other guy.
Yeah, but I just remember one of them in that hardcore, like, 15-minute match, the one that Hardcore Holly wound up winning. Remember at the end with the broken candy jar and all that shit? I remember at one point they showed him, and it looked like he tapped an artery. Like, he was just covered in blood from head to toe.
Don't know off the top of my head.
I don't either. I just remember the sweater vest and the blood. That's all I remember.
He's making the rounds. He'll be at WrestleCon. He's making the rounds with the media and stuff.
That's so cool. Maybe he makes the round with the Wizards. Thinking. I don't know. I'd talk to Pete Gass.
Yeah, we'll. Maybe I'd have him on all the time.
Yeah, I'd pretty much talk to anybody. I don't give a shit.
That's a very good point.
Let me see.
It's a light news week when we're starting off with Pete Gass releasing.
Well, no,
book.
I didn't. But I mean, I didn't want to jump right in. I figure, you know, like, it's been shitty outside. Let's start off with the light side of the news. You know, you want to jump in with something. Did we talk about Rebby Sky going fucking mental ape shit last week over the whole Hardy thing and blasting TNA on the Twitter?
Yeah, but she hasn't stopped, so it's still a story.
Yes, and it gets even better because now she's going to be cashing in selling her Fuck the Owl t-shirts.
God, that owl.
It's a fucking hexagon, and it says Fuck the Owl.
I have it pulled up right now. It's amazing.
And on the bottom, instead of Anthem, it says Broken.
Yes, it does. That is ridiculous.
Hey, it's pretty genius, and it just goes to show you put a little thought into it, you could pretty much market anything. I wouldn't be surprised if she sells a shit ton of those shirts.
You know what the shirt is, Tony?
What's that?
The shirt is a hoot.
Oh, boy! Oh, shit. Wait a minute. You didn't think you were going to get away without this one, did you? Yeah, I know. I'm working a bunch of hats tonight, but I do have the soundboard. It's layered somewhere in here. So, so Rebby Sky selling shirts, I would assume. Oh, you know what? The Matt Hardy brand website, I think, was closing down, and they had a whole bunch of deals. I don't know if it's still around. I think it's matthardybrand.com. But they were, like, unloading stuff. I mean, it's, don't get me wrong, it's not Don West-worthy, like, you know, like, deals that you can get at Shop TNA or whatever it's called now. But, you know, there are deals nonetheless.
Yeah, why not?
I don't know. I'm shilling for the Hardys. Like, they fucking need my help. The only other news that I really have is WWE announced the Warrior Award recipient for this year's Hall of Fame inductions. And I don't know if people around the country are familiar with Eric LeGrand. You're a Rutgers football fan, aren't you? Or maybe I'm wrong.
No, you're wrong, but I mean, I think the whole country is familiar with. I think everyone knows who this kid is now.
Okay, well, fair enough. But if you're living under a rock, Eric LeGrand was a Rutgers student who played Rutgers, played football for the Scarlet Knights. And apparently he was a huge standout. Like, I don't know too much about his career, but I know he was a standout at Rutgers. And back in 2010, playing at MetLife Stadium, I think it was. Was it in MetLife Stadium? I don't know. But Rutgers had a game, and he wound up taking a hit and paralyzed from the neck down. He shattered his C4, C5 vertebrae. And, you know, the thought was he was never going to walk again. I mean, he's confined to a wheelchair. And he has gotten some movement back in his shoulders and just a little bit in his upper body. But, I mean, the story is from there, he went on and he actually finished his degree. He continued school. He actually finished school from Skype from his home. He went on. He's a broadcaster. He broadcast Rutgers football games. And he started the Team LeGrand charity and support group, which is part of the Christopher and Dana Reeve Foundation. And he goes around and does motivational speeches. And one of my friends from high school, Jim, and his young son, Gavin, they've been Rutgers fans forever. Jim actually went to Rutgers with my wife. And they've actually become quite good friends with Eric. Like, they see him at all. They go to all the charity events. They spend time with him. So it's kind of cool that, like, this local kid took this tragedy and turned something, like, you know, amazing out of it. And it's really cool that WWE is going to be honoring him. Like, I know we bitch and moan all the time about the Warrior Award isn't really what it was meant to be when the Warriors set it up. But I think it's kind of cool the direction they took with it. And, you know, Eric's a deserving guy.
Oh, 100%, without a doubt. For what they've made the award into, and it's just an inspirational person, basically, award, and I don't think there's anyone on the earth that's more inspirational than Eric LeGrand from Rutgers. I think he actually grew up either in the same town or the town not too far over from Destruction.
I think it was Avenel, the town.
Okay. Yeah,
I could be wrong, but I think that's what they had said.
I don't know. It's Woodbridge, Avenel, Colonia, Edison, that area.
Yes. WrestlePro country.
Yeah, basically there. Basically everywhere. He's from Jersey. But no, like I said, there's with what the award has become to be, and that who won it? Joan London or Connor the Crook? I forget. Both may have won it.
Yeah, it was both of them. Joan London won last year, and Connor was the inaugural recipient.
Yeah, so I mean, like, it's perfectly, this fits right in that line, so I have no problem with it. I mean, not that anyone would have a problem with it. That's just kind of like par for the course wrestling lingo. When you're okay with something, I don't have a problem with it. But it's obviously 100% deserved, and I'm looking forward to hearing a speech at Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're not heartless here. I mean, we've bitched and moaned about WWE using things for its own publicity, but you can't really argue against a guy like Eric getting that award. Completely deserved. Completely deserved.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you'll have that side of the argument, I'm sure, at some point down the road, too. But it's nice to see if you just keep your mind free of all the, like, what's happening, like, behind it and what might be. But if you just look at it straightforward through, like, a vacuum or whatever, like, straight down, it's a great thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't have any more news and notes. I'm sure I missed a ton of shit. I wasn't expecting to have to prep, like, completely for everything tonight. So if
we don't have to prepare anything about news and notes. You can just freestyle. I'm seeing today that Kurt Angle was actually at the SmackDown venue, which doesn't necessarily mean anything because it's in Pittsburgh.
Oh. And that's it.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you were going out with that. Yeah, that's it for news. Let's see what else we can find. I mean, you can talk about anything, man. This is a call time, brother.
Were you at the WrestlePro show this past weekend?
Oh yeah, duh. Of course I was. Yes, absolutely.
I'm sure fun time was had by all. Anything that you want to bring to the table? Any news and notes? Any updates? Anything interesting?
Bobby Wayward won back the WrestlePro championship. And oh yes, let me talk about this. This was a phenomenal match. It was a ladder match between Bowen and Wayward. And for those who are not familiar with the WrestlePro, look them up. They're both amazing talent.
Actually, before you continue, Anthony Bowens has been blowing up lately too. I see his story, you know, since he's come out, like, has been all over the place. It's been picked up by a lot of places, doing a lot of, you know, articles about him. I mean, I saw a bunch of stuff on Facebook today. Good for him. He's getting out there.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. It's a story that should be told, and he deserves all the credit in the world. So not only is he a good dude, he's a great professional wrestler, and he's got an interesting story that's not all too common in professional wrestling. So when you hear a professional wrestler comes out as a bisexual dude, it's going to get picked up, and deservedly so, because it's a story that should be told. And he's a great dude. He's a good wrestler, and he put on a great match with Bowens. That was a ladder match this past Saturday night, which... Dude, I'm telling you right now, the spots were amazing. And they did this thing at the end where they both grabbed the belt kind of at the same time, right? They both fell. The belt was in the ring, but no one had possession of it. So basically, they had to fight to get to the belt, all right? So they both grabbed the belt. They're doing a tug-of-war gimmick with the belt. Like, Bowen has to, like, super kick. They got to duck clotheslines from Kuehling. They got to do all this stuff while holding on to the belt.
That's pretty fucking wild.
It was everything, like, was perfect. Like, there was run-ins from the job security, Wayward's steel stable. It was it was a fantastic match. Wayward won, so he is the champ once again. And the whole show was great, man. Let's see. Because I was back there. Oh, the six-man with the Hit Squad and Homicide versus Moth versus Mario, Pat Buck and Matthews was a brawl that, like, you've never seen. Like, you thought, I don't know if you were at the Union show, but I know I was, Matt was, obviously Eddie was. That was like a brawl with Moth and them, but like, this one was, and Starland, but this was just like, they tore the ring apart. It was hard for me to see where they actually went because I was in the back, but they went all over the arena. Pat Buck, I think, had a wrench and ended up gouging Dan Moff's head. Like, it was hard to see because everyone's standing up in front of you, but he ended up like, it was, so Team WrestlePro won that match. Lots of great action on the show. It was just another great outing from WrestlePro.
Awesome. I saw that Dan Moff posted to his Facebook page that he never tapped out or he never gave up. I'm not going to argue against him, but you could be honest. Did he give up? Did he tap?
You know, I honestly don't think he did, but I'm in the monitor and there wasn't a person sitting for the match. So all I'm looking at is this monitor and I have everyone standing up in front of me. I can only see from, like, I'll say, like, the second rope up. So, like, if they're on the mat, I couldn't see them. Like, I'm not sure there was, like, a gap in, like, someone, like, between the two people standing, but everyone was standing right in front of the camera, so I couldn't see what exactly happened. I knew there was a wrench involved, and then I knew he may have had the rope around him or some rope. I honestly don't know, but all I know is that I saw the ref call for the bell and I had to do my thing. So
that's right, the thing you do so well.
And actually, it was actually not bad. This show actually went pretty well overall for me, selfishly, I guess. So it was good.
It sucked for Anthony Bowens, it sounds like.
Well, yeah, he lost the belt, but he's got a sick Power Ranger get up now, so that's dope.
Oh, something we could talk about. Speaking of losing belts, Christopher Daniels, your new Ring of Honor World Champion at the age of 46. What the fuck?
I don't see. Here's the thing that's going to suck about this is that I don't know what set this up. Was it like because Kazarian turned on him and joined the Bullet Club, and now Kazarian turned babyface again?
I have no knowledge. My Ring of Honor foo is like rusty. I would assume he beat Adam Cole though, because Adam Cole's supposed to be leaving, right?
Yeah, he beat Adam Cole for the belt, but I don't know if there was some. And again, this is just because I had WrestlePro all weekend Saturday, and then snow Monday, and St. Patrick's Day parade on Sunday in West Orange, so I really had no wrestling time at all until maybe 9:30 last night. So yeah, but Christopher Daniels is for the first time ever, I believe.
Yes,
his first time ever as the Ring of Honor World Champion at 46 years old. Now, what do you think? Do you think, I know we're not the most knowledgeable ROH guys, do you think this is just one of those thanks for everything you've done sort of reigns, or do you think he's going to have a reign?
Well, I thought I remember we spoke to Christopher Daniels a while ago. I thought he was looking to start winding down, right? So maybe this is maybe we are coming up on his swan song. Like, I don't know, but I mean, I don't know how much he really has left. Maybe he's going for another couple of years. I'm not sure. But if he is thinking about winding it down, or, you know, maybe traveling somewhere else, I have nothing wrong with the decision. I think he deserves it, you know?
Oh, 100%. I could just totally see this, especially with WrestleMania week coming and their showdown at, I think, Lakeland, Florida. I could see this being a transitional sort of deal. But I could totally also see them running with it. I honestly don't know a whole lot about it. But to me, this kind of, because it's so close to the biggest week in wrestling, that I could totally see this being a transitional deal. And I don't know who they'd put it on, to be honest with you. I honestly don't know who's in that mix right now. That's the thing with Ring of Honor, just like TNA. Like, I'll get into it for like 3 months at a stretch, and then I'll be out of it for like forever.
So then, so then let me ask you this. Do you think that Bobby Wayward is, transitioning so, you know, Anthony Bowens could have his quote-unquote WrestleMania moment when you guys are down in Orlando?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, anything's possible.
Maybe we got some parallel thinking here between the Ring of Honor and the WrestlePro guys. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting weekend for you guys down there.
Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm totally pumped, and again, totally pumped for a lot of the stuff. I don't know what, like, there's so much going on. Like, I know I'm definitely going to WrestlePro, obviously. And then I'll probably, like, actually 100% do the Janela show, because that's right after it. And then I'd like to go see Gabe at an Evolve show. And I think they've run on the Friday, too. So I might do that. Like, I don't, there's so much going on. They're doing a bus trip for the Ring of Honor show on Saturday at the same night as the Hall of Fame, which I'm not going to. So, like, maybe I'll take the bus to Ring of Honor. I don't know. Like, who knows what's going on, man? It's a crazy week, and I guess I should probably at some point soon lock down the schedule, talk to the crew, see what's going on.
Do whatever you can, and when you're exhausted, do some more. It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, bro. Take it.
Yes, sir.
Do everything.
Absolutely.
There was one other bit of news before we get into like some Raw, some TNA, whatever else you want to talk about. Apparently, this was a thing. Impact and Anthem wanted people to come up with a name for the owl.
Yeah, but we already did that.
No, I know we did that, but Anthem, of course, stole another idea stolen from the Shining Wizards, by the way. So we get stolen by two companies in the country. Yeah, apparently they put it out there and they wanted suggestions, and I don't know if there's a prize or anything like that. Justin Anderson, host of Inconclusive Breakdown on the Shining Wizards Network, by the way, he suggested Dixie. So
a lot of people have put that out there. No offense to Justin Anderson.
Well, I wanted to give him credit. I kind of figured that was an obvious answer, but still very clever.
Yes, again, kudos, Justin, obviously, brother. Dixie was obviously one. I don't know. See, on the spot, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. Because
you have to make it kind of, you have to make it like inside and marquee and all that kind of stuff.
You should just name him Mr. Owley.
That's what I would say, Mr. Owley.
Oh, brother.
How about, all right, so it finally came about that Jack Swagger is finally gone.
Jack Swagger has been officially released, which means all the bookings that he has made since before that announcement are all legit, and he doesn't have to worry about changing them for fear of being fired because he's already been released. So, la-dee-doo, I hope Jack Swagger comes this way. There's a lot of great companies on this coast of the country that would love to have him in. So, good for him. Make that money. Make that money, kid. Kid,
absolutely,
man, whatever.
Absolutely.
I always enjoyed Jack Swagger. I always enjoyed him.
I do too, and we're probably going to repeat stuff we talked about last week. But like, other than like the cash in, like, what was your like? Did you have like a definitive like Jack Swagger moment?
No, dude. It was what really put him over the top for me was putting him with Dutch Mantel. The entire We the People thing, where they would cut these promos and just shit on everything about him, you know, about all the awful things that happen in America that are un-American and all this and that. And you know, so much so that they actually had to do a video explaining that we're characters on a wrestling show, which I didn't really so much agree with. But that whole We the People thing, like. When he wrestled, when we went to SmackDown in November, dude, it was a dark match or a taping for whatever their sideshow is, whatever it is. And when he fucking put his hand to his heart and he said it, the crowd fucking ate it up, dude. He was crazy over with that shit. Crazy over.
He really was. And no matter where he was on the card, and it's like that, I feel like it's like that with a lot of guys. If you have something that sticks, no matter where they end up putting you on the card, if you have like something catchy that the crowd can get behind, they'll always do it no matter where you are on the show.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, here's something interesting. Big Show, I mean, this can go into Raw, but before I get to the Big Show part of it.
Hold on. Sorry. You said Big Show, right?
There was talk. I did. Okay. I did say Big Show.
All right.
There were talks that William Regal, and this is according to, I always quote the old sourcey, Mike Johnson of Peter Insider, reported that William Regal was supposed to be going into the Hall of Fame. At least there was talk of that this year. But now they're saying that it's not, he's not planned on going this year. So he went from possibly going in to not going in. And the telltale of that is that they usually announce the Warrior Award last. At least amongst the initial Hall of Famers, they'll do that legacy, whatever that is, later. But thoughts about William Regal going in and then being pulled, potentially, allegedly, from the Hall of Fame?
Well, how many people are being inducted into this class? What's the class of 2017 look like right now?
I just had it. Here it is.
That's all right. We got it.
And I mean, I could probably take a rattle it off. Kurt Angle.
Yes, Kurt Angle. What's her name? What the hell's her name?
Beth
Phoenix. The Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah.
Of course, Eric LeGrand is going to be. And Rick Rude.
Yeah.
Diamond Dallas Page. Oh, yeah dude. One more. Wait a minute. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, dude, it might be filled up. This might
be. You missed one.
Oh, who did I miss? Oh, Theodore Long, playa.
Holla, holla.
Yeah, dude. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You've got your post hummus. Hummus. I'm hungry. I can't even talk. The dead guy. We got a dead guy.
Posthumous.
Thank you. I couldn't even get that out. I'm a fucking idiot. The mat is rubbing off on me tonight. So that might be it, dude. That might be it for this year. Does William Regal deserve to be in the Hall of Fame? Absolutely. The fact that he's never held a world championship does not count against him. He's had a storied career. He's known for having his demons and overcoming them. He's been involved with NXT. He's been involved with a lot of recruiting. I mean, we've seen him at shows on the East Coast. You know, PWS WrestlePro he's been at. He's been at the Evolve shows. I remember seeing him for the Tier 1 Evolve joint show last year. Absolutely. He's a student of the game. He's still a student. He's an excellent teacher of the game as well. And absolutely, 100% Hall of Fame bound. Absolutely. Are you taking a bath?
No, I was making another little beverage.
Another delicious cocktail for the Kevmeister?
Yes, sir. Dude, it's snow day, man.
Of course.
Ignore that noise, though. That was just me pulling my... I have a great setup in Studio L. It's a table where I fold laundry, and it is a metal folding chair with my laptop. So I am...
Wonderful.
This is very luxurious conditions in studio laundry.
That's so fucking awesome.
I love it, dude. Remember the last time that we did one of these? Remember who was our guest?
It was 9 months ago.
Do you remember?
No. Where were you? You were outside at the Hat, weren't you?
No, the last time where I was actually doing the show from the laundry room, and you were at your house, and Matt was somewhere. Do you remember who that was? We had a very special guest that night.
It was the only ones that I'm thinking of was we did a show with Little Egypt and AJ Styles.
Yes, there you go.
There we go. Yeah, and unfortunately, it was just you and Matt listening to me gush over Little Egypt for the first half of the show, and then you guys just sort of took over in the second half while I whacked my bag thinking of that delicious lady. I'm sorry. Did I talk too much? Hey, man, she's an older lady, but I'm an older man too, so it's all good, right?
I love it. I love it.
Wouldn't even matter if I was an older man at this point.
You want to, this next subject kind of segues into Raw, and that's when Big Show announced that he is going to be the first first entrant into the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, which permanently, I guess, officially puts the kibosh on the rumored Big Show Shaquille O'Neal match.
Yeah, you know, I had that as part of my Raw notes, and you know what? It would have been kind of cool to have Big Show and Shaq. I guess they couldn't get it together for whatever reason, probably money. But do you think Big Show is trying to turn his life around, or you think he was just getting in shape for this match?
I think he realizes that he's not so young. Dude, he's a giant. His life expectancy already is like, I don't know, a percentage of regular persons. So, like, I feel like he was just trying to get in shape, and he does that every now and then. He did that for Mayweather. He did that for, I guess, for this.
Yeah, but he's never looked as in great a shape as he is for this match.
Yeah, but it's also kind of like, I don't know, this is kind of stupid because he's a wrestler, but like everyone's getting in shape nowadays. It's actually kind of sickening. Like no one wants to like not be in shape anymore. It's repulsive.
Just, well, like you shoveled today, didn't you?
Yeah, I shoveled today.
So there you go. But you're in shape.
My back is killing me.
You have to shovel with your legs, Kevin. Your quads, your glutes. That's where the power lies.
Listen, I'm putting my foot down. I'm sick of all these people getting in shape. I'm sick of it.
Are you suggesting I get fat again?
Yes. Yes, Tony, I am. Please do.
Holy shape. Shit. So we might as well segue. I don't have much on Raw. Apparently Nia Jax worked... Bailey again, and there was a stoppage because Nia Jax didn't listen to the referee, which seems to be a go-to shitty way to protect guys these days, don't you think?
Yeah, but if it's just nowadays, if it's not one shitty way, it's another. So
yeah, but they're not doing Bailey any favors, fucking making her look weak against Charlotte, having Sasha to interfere, fucking losing to Sasha last week or a week, 2 weeks ago, whatever. Now fucking having a ref stoppage against Nia Jax, like. They fucking shit the bed with her. Like, I don't know why they're booking her like this. I really don't.
The only thing that I could think of and coming from them is that, well, she's always been the underdog. She's always been the person that gets beat up. She's always been the person that has to come from behind. And Nia Jax is a monster, and she's not. You know, she is the champ. It's just like, let's keep her down. And so when she finally wins, people care again. I don't know. I mean, I could be making that up, like, totally. It's just... It is what it is, and they're trying to make Nia a monster. I actually did watch this match. they, I don't know, they're on the outside and then the ref stoppage and I don't know. It's whatever. It's the or the women's division now. So.
Well, the other cool thing was, Jinder Mahal found himself in a match with Roman Reigns. Am I wrong about that? I think it was Jinder, right?
Dude, I saw like Roman coming up next. I turned it off and turned it back on, and Roman was in the ring challenge, and then Shawn Michaels came out. So I missed that whole match.
Oh, all right. So maybe he didn't wrestle Jinder Mahal. Maybe I'm wrong, but yes, I do remember the Shawn Michaels.
No, he very well could have wrestled Jinder Mahal. They said he was in action, so I literally could have been gone for like 4 minutes and the match was over already.
But what I do remember is that he gave Shawn some lip and he was leaving the ring, and old Cowardly Lion was staring back at him when he was on the ramp, and fucking Braun Strowman waffled the shit out of him and knocked him off the ramp into like the barricades set up with the light fixtures and all that shit. It was great. It was so great. Reigns took a fucking bump and a half falling down there. And Strowman looks at Shawn Michaels and he's like, I could come down there and wreck you if I wanted to.
He did. That was actually kind of fun, that part.
Fucking awesome. It's a shame. I mean, look, he's going to wrestle The Undertaker. Good for him. But I don't know. I would have rather seen Strowman and Reigns at WrestleMania, to be honest with you. I think Strowman's ready to start stepping it up. They had a great match at Fastlane. I thought they did.
I do too, and I think Braun had a great match at the Big Show. I think Braun is legit now. I just don't know. I don't think Braun is out of this match yet. I don't know. I mean, I guess he is. I guess they're going to go with the straight up 1-on-1.
Yeah, I don't think they'd want to book a triple threat with the Undertaker at this point. Like the entire aura of the Undertaker is the 1-on-1 match now. You know, they got away from the fucking handicap match where Nathan Jones couldn't wrestle and all that other horse shit. So.
Yeah, so now I guess we speculate every week. I guess Strowman goes into the Battle Royal, or does he face Sami Zayn? Like what? Like, I don't even know.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. I tell you this much, though. It looks like we are going to get Triple H and Seth Rollins officially, and it looks like we're going to get Team Foley and Team McMahon.
Oh, God.
Did you catch the ending of Raw?
I did. I saw the whole segment.
Okay, but just before we get into it, apparently at the beginning of the show, Stephanie gave Mick Foley an ultimatum. I don't know what the fucking deal was going into it, but apparently Mick Foley had the entire show to decide who he was going to fire. He had to fire one person. And at the very end, it's him and Stephanie in the ring, and he turns to Stephanie and says, I'd fire you. And Stephanie's like, you can't fire me. He's like, yeah, but you're a piece of shit, and you're ruining Raw and all this and that. And he starts really fucking giving it to her, and I was watching it with my wife and my son, and I explained to my wife, I said, you know, when Mick Foley gets angry about something, he really fucking lets loose in his promos. And she looked at him and she's like, wow, he's really fucking good. Like, he's really, like, you know, into this. I'm like, that's the beauty of him, you know, that's what he does. And he fucking did it so well because, he pulls from the real emotion, and that all came out. And how fucking great was it when Triple H came out and started giving him shit, too? It was a great way to end Raw, I thought. That whole back and forth.
Yeah, it was. I mean, it was as much as I'd rather like not see like the, you know, the power position people go back and forth, and then just have, you know, Seth come in and then get it. Like, I know you have to do it, I guess, but I'm over the days of the power positions going back and forth.
Yeah, but how cool was it where Mick was just standing there and you thought he was just gonna eat shit, and then you see him like reaching down into the sweats in the corner. I was like, oh, no way, Mr. Sacco's coming back. And fucking Triple H just runs over and he's all like, I thought I told you to blah, 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 blah. Fucking awesome. And then Seth comes out to save Mick. And you know what? As like my son turns to me, he goes, why did Triple H beat up Seth Rollins? Like, you know, like, why is he standing tall? I'm like, because he has to stand tall at certain points, because it's going to be that much sweeter when Seth Rollins eventually beats him. And a lot of people were like, Seth Rollins needed to come up, you know, like he needed to stand tall at the end. I don't think so. I think it's going to mean more in the long run if Triple H keeps getting the better of him, as long as Triple H fucking does the right thing at WrestleMania, which I don't think he'll have a problem doing, but stranger things have happened.
Yeah, and you saw him a couple of weeks before. How many Raws do you have before Mania?
Two? Is what, April 2nd? So maybe 3 more weeks? No, today's the 14th, like 2 more weeks, right?
Yeah, 2 more weeks. So you have you have two more laws, so anything could happen. The heel has to get his heat at some point.
He's got to have it on the go home show going in, because if he doesn't, then what the fuck's the point? Nobody's gonna want to see that shit at WrestleMania. So
you could either do that, or you could do like your pull apart and give them both.
Or you could just have everybody kind of schmoz together, like, you know, like all the matches wind up in the ring at the same time, and there's the huge pull apart at the very end, and you know.
Hey, you know what? We actually do have questions.
Oh no, I'm looking. We'll get to them. So shit, where the hell was I going with that? I just lost my train of thought. So it's obvious going to be Team Foley against Team Steph. Now, Foley mentioned that Triple H is putting together an army. So I'm assuming that Stephanie's going to maybe have Samoa Joe and Kevin Owens. No, but she can't, because Kevin Owens is in the U.S. title match. Maybe it's Sami Zayn and Samoa Joe for their, you know, and they're in the respective corners at Mania. I don't know.
Oh, well, maybe you do. All right, so then maybe you put Braun Strowman with Samoa Joe and Sami Zayn, and maybe this is where you bring back Balor. So you have Strowman, Joe, Balor.
Yeah, I mean, they could do that. The only other thing I was thinking of is maybe at this point keep it a one-on-one, and then Samoa Joe beats Zayn. They fire Zayn. They send him to SmackDown, and Daniel Bryan's like, oh, we love Sami Zayn. We'll take him. Fucking no problem. And, all, you know, some shit like that. And then Mick could go off and have his surgery as the fired guy, and Kurt Angle can step in and do the it's true, and all that shit, and then, you know, everybody's happy.
Yeah, I thought they said that they were going to do teams, though.
No, I mean, they don't have to do teams. I mean, like, I've just always been saying Team Foley and Team Stephanie, but if they wanted to keep it as a one-on-one...
I thought you said they confirmed that.
Oh, no. That's just me confirming it by the fact that they fucking came to a head last night.
Gotcha.
Unless, of course, they steal my idea and they do the people power versus the players and whatever else.
I could see them... But at this point, like, and actually, this is another story. We had Balor's return over the weekend at the house show.
Yes.
I'm actually not sure. I'm on the fence. I want him to be at WrestleMania, but I don't know if it's not necessarily like the best move. And you only have 2 weeks left before the show. Would it be smart to bring in like a relatively like, I guess, fresh or new character this close to WrestleMania?
I don't think you rush him unless you put him in the Andre the Giant Battle Royal and let him go over. But I don't think they're going to do that.
I don't think you put him in that spot. That spot's a joke. You put him in, if you do it, you put him in what we just talked about and have him team with Sami Zayn against Samoa Joe and Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Or
unless you want to do, Samoa Joe and Balor. But I think they still want to protect Samoa Joe at this point.
Right.
You know, yeah. I don't think they want to give him his loss on Sunday Night Heat, you know, before they build him up for a couple of months.
No, yeah, but all right. So now this leads to another thing. What is Joe's role? Is he just going to be a cog in the wheel of the Rollins Triple H match, or is he going to actually have his own match this year at WrestleMania?
Unless he represents Stephanie against Sami Zayn. You know, or even captains the team, and Sami Zayn captains Mick Foley's team. I don't know. It depends on what else they want to do to get guys a payday. I mean, the Andre the Giant Battle Royal, you know, that's the easy way to get 400 people on WrestleMania to give them a payday, you know? I don't know what you do.
Not your top guys.
That's true.
You put your Kane, you put your Big Show in it.
Kane. Is he even on the show yet?
No.
Ooh.
I just rattled off a veteran guy, like a Mark Henry. Like, you put those guys in. You don't put, like, I mean, if you want to, I guess you could put Braun in it, because he's not necessarily, but he might as well be right up there. He's the same. He's right there with Roman Reigns. So like, you don't put Roman Reigns in it. So do you put Braun in it?
Yeah. Braun. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. See, this is what annoys me, too, about WrestleMania time. There should be, and I mean, some of the stories they've been developing, but by and large, dude, most of WrestleMania just seems like it's booked, like, you know, a couple of weeks ahead of time, and that's it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you've had the slow burn with Owens and Jericho. We knew where they were going with that. We knew where they were going with what's his name, with Roman Reigns and Undertaker. Even though that was questionable because there was talk about Cena getting that spot, you know.
Yeah.
But there just seems to be a lot of stuff that's thrown together, like the tag title match. Now all of a sudden there's a triple threat match at Mania, which probably is only going to be on the pre-show anyway.
Well, I'm trying to see how many matches are actually booked for Mania right now.
Maybe seven or eight.
And you'll find out another one tonight after 205 Live, as Austin Aries will probably win the match. But I was always thinking they were going to make that a multi-man match, but we'll see. Austin Aries will probably face Neville.
Here, Universal Championship, Goldberg against Lesnar, WWE, Bray Wyatt against Randy Orton, Raw Women's, Bayley against Sasha and Charlotte, SmackDown, Alexa Bliss event against every available female on the SmackDown roster. Oh, what the fuck is that going to look like? And the U.S. Yeah, Championship, Jericho and Owens, and these were supposed to be solidified on SmackDown. Triple H versus Seth Rollins, this is going to be happening. AJ Styles and Shane McMahon, Cena and Nikki against Miz and Maryse, Dean Ambrose against Baron Corbin, Neville against Austin Aries for the Cruiserweight Championship, and Samoa Joe versus Finn Balor. Those are not confirmed yet, by the way.
Yeah, but other than the last one, it's pretty much a lock.
Yeah, I mean, Cena and The Miz, that's going to be going that direction. That's going to be her swan song, too.
Yeah, so I mean, so that was basically 10 matches, 9 or 10 matches, and I'm not even including the Finn Joe yet because that's the only one that we haven't seen any storyline.
I thought there was going to be a tag title match, a triple threat with Cesaro and Sheamus and the Good Brothers and who's the other team?
There is Enzo and Cass.
That's it.
So without even having Joe, Strowman, Zayn, I don't know if you also want to throw in that category, Luke Harper, without any of those guys booked in a match, you already have anywhere from 9 to 11 matches that are locked for the show. So,
in the Battle Royal, too.
Well, yeah, so that's what I'm saying. All right, so, I don't want to go through all the matches again.
Well, the Battle Royal could easily be on the pre-show. I'm thinking the Intercontinental title match could be on the pre-show. Maybe the tag title match for Raw is going to be on the pre-show. I don't even know what they're doing on SmackDown with the tag titles.
The whole point that I'm trying to make is that you have 12 matches, regardless of whether or not on the pre-show or not. You have 12 matches for that whole day without some of your top stars even booked. Like, they haven't confirmed the next 10. I mean, that's a lock. That's a lock. The only one that's not a lock out of the matches you mentioned was Joe Balor. So, if they throw that on, that means you're going to have three probably pre-show matches, at least three.
Yeah.
So, that's I mean, it's not a. I'm kind of with Corey Graves. I don't want to see AJ Styles or Shane McMahon, but
let me see. We do have a few questions. Is there anything else that we want to cover where it comes to WWE, or are we good with that?
Nah, we're good. I mean, whatever. It's a call time, so if anyone wants to take these questions, then wrap it up, and I can go watch SmackDown.
Well, we got a few questions, but I do want to get into Impact real quick. I'm not going to do meh TNA. I don't want to take up a lot of people's time. I mean, believe me, it'll be back in old. Well, it might not even be back next week because we got a shit ton of stuff going on next week. But so TNA is no longer in existence. It's now called Impact, thanks to the interview with what's his face, Bruce Pritchard. I'll cover that real quick. He came out and he mentioned a lot of shit. We had a question actually. Actually, Matt asked, was it really smart for Impact to make a million WWE references last week? Makes them look stupid, totally bad show. I agree that it was bad for the most part. There were some bright spots. They did make a lot of WWE references. They put a lot of the guys in the intro, which I thought was pretty cool. That are either with WWE or went back to WWE or made WWE stars. But it gave the history of Impact. The only thing that I could tell, and I don't know if you watched Impact last week, but when they showed the highlights, everything looked like a wrestling show. Like, it looked bright, it looked cheery. When you saw the footage that they interspersed with the current stuff and how they're looking toward the future, it looks a lot more gloomy and doomy and dark. And I don't know, like you see the old footage and it looks like a fucking exciting wrestling show. And you look at this and it just looks like bland and creepy. And they're calling this, it was like night and day showing this thing, like from the past and now the present, you know?
Of course, but you have to acknowledge what you've like done. Like, you have to acknowledge the history of the company because it's still a whatever 12 plus year existence.
Oh no, of course. I'm not saying that, right. But I'm just saying that the look then and all the shit they showed compared to the look now, like their appearance is fucking dark. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just looks like they kind of like fucking became a shell of themselves. I don't think that's the impression they're going for.
I was getting there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. But some things are just beyond your control. Like, you can't make it look like it was then because you don't have the money that you had then. So, like, you only have this place. You only have the decisions that you've made to show what you've been doing lately. So, like, we can't come back. WWE, I mean, this is an awful example because they still do sell out, like, a major stadium. But let's just say for this argument's sake, they didn't. Like, you can't, like... Would you be mad at them for showing the Pontiac Silverdome at an event that only drew 4,000 people? No, you wouldn't, because that's what they did. And it gives them that appearance that they're still quasi-relevant. So, like, I don't blame TNA for going back and showing a crowd that may have been bigger, like a show that actually looked like a wrestling show. Like, even in the Hogan era, even like then, like, I don't blame you for doing that. It's just, you're right. It does. It's sad that that's where it's been. But, hey, they're still there. So... I give them all the credit in the world for still trying to push through and finding new ways to be around.
No, of course. A couple times during the night, Cody Rhodes came out. One time he came out with his wife. He was carrying the Global Force Next Gen title. They made mention of it. They really didn't say much about it. Of course, he's calling out Moose, and the argument was Moose isn't here, so he's doing this just to be an asshole because he knows Moose isn't here. He's afraid of Moose. You know, that stupid shit. Right. Jeremy Borash is joining the Pope and Josh Matthews on commentary. I don't really have a problem with it. They bumped Spud up to ring announcer now, which I'm okay with. I just don't know where that leaves him with Aaron Rex. I was kind of getting
into
that.
Wait, go ahead. Hold on a second.
Uh-huh.
Wait. Rockstar Spud is the ring announcer now?
Yeah. He was for this show, yes. Yeah, I was getting, and I know Matt wasn't crazy about it, but I was getting into the Aaron Rex and the Rockstar Spud kind of like character thing going on where he was like the manservant or whatever you want to call him, the powder blue Maytag man, as I like to call him, but.
Yeah, which, I mean, I wasn't super excited about that, but I also didn't hate it. But Rockstar's, unless this is like going somewhere too, then he should not be the ring announcer. And also, real quick, I do want to just go back to what you said earlier. Yeah, TNA should never reference WWE, by the way. Just throwing that out there.
Well, there were a couple of times they referenced it, and I understand it. Like, this pissed me off the whole fucking night, and this really annoyed me, and this is why I didn't like this week's episode. Last week I talked about how Josh Matthews was giving shit, like, how does the Pope know all this? I'm a great announcer. Like, he's playing heel shtick, but then he'll come out of it and call matches. Then he'll be, like, overly heel about things. And now him and fucking Borash, like, they were just fighting the entire night. It was taking away from everything. Borash was saying how he trained... how he looked up to Jim Ross and how Tony Schiavone and who was the other fucking guy that used to do the announcer from them? I can't think of his name. I don't know.
Eric Bischoff?
No. I forget who it was, but he was saying, like, you know, he had mentors in the business and Mike Tenay, that was it. And he fucking says to Josh Matthews, he's like, you're a Ken doll with no ball. So they're fighting. One time he says, like, you know, like, he wants to, you know, give respect, like Jim Ross, like Gordon Soley. And Josh Matthews is like, who's Gordon Soley? It was like, it was fucking stupid. He was just trying to be a dick. And Jeremy Borash is trying to put him in his place. It fucking went on all night and it was worthless. It was fucking stupid and it ruined the fucking show. It really did. I'm tired of this fucking heel character. And unless you're going to fucking have Jeremy Borash calling the action and not have Josh Matthews call it, it makes even less sense. I don't know what the fuck they're going for, but it's shit. It really is. Real shit, dude.
I didn't see a lot of it. I did watch a little bit of it, but it was probably with the volume down. So, like, I just hate the announcer feuds. It's been done. It's enough. It was bad the first time, the second time, the third time, the fourth time, the fifth time. It's done. Announcers should not be in a feud. No one cares. You have a hard enough time getting people to care about your wrestlers. So why should you spend time caring about, like, focus on the workers, the wrestlers, and the announcer's job is to put them over. We're not supposed to be caring about them. It's frustrating.
Absolutely right. You're absolutely right on that. There was more shit. The Wolves were fighting. They opened the show, actually, with the two of them brawling. At one point later on, Eddie Edwards was doing an interview, and my favorite knockout, Angelina Love, came out and was giving him shit, saying, like, he's not a man, and she slapped him, and he's like, oh, you know, well, you know, Davey must be your bitch because you slap harder than he does. Like, it was all right. They're advancing that. I get it. But there was, like, other shit, too. Like, Jeremy, fucking Josh Matthews is like, oh, Eddie never called him. Like, they were doing, like, the Paul Orndorff shit. It's like, stop whining, you fucking asshole. You sound stupid. There's this tag team from Future Stars of Wrestling. They came out with their belts. They're the champions there. They're called Reno Scum. And they had a match.
I know them? I know these guys. Yeah, I know Reno. I watched this match.
Okay. Fine. The match was fine. I liked their finisher. It was a bow and arrow into a stomp off the top, which was really fucking cool. And of course, the commentary was fucking awful the entire time, and they fucking shit on it. They were like, oh, he got the pin? Oh, they stole one. No, they didn't. They fucking won convincingly. What the fuck are you talking about? It was, I'm sorry, I stole your line. They teased some dissension with the DCC. I don't fucking think they're long for this world anyway. I think those guys all need to go their separate directions. They're nothing but jobbers at this point, but I kind of like the Reno Scum. I thought it would have been a better match had they not shit all over each other on fucking commentary.
Yeah, I'll take your word for it. I did watch the match, and I know that the Scum guys won over a group that literally a week prior was being pushed, so I don't know.
They had some shit with, they showed Allie again crying in her fucking, not Allie, what's her name? Laurel crying in her wedding dress. She came out at one point. Let me see. So they were interviewing Sienna, and Sienna was like, oh, Maria's not here. And the girl that does the interviews, she was ready to say, yeah, because of a contract problem. But Sienna cuts her off and she's like, no, she had a nervous breakdown. What do you listen to the sheets for everything? So I thought that was pretty fucking. I mean, what else are you going to do? They're out of the show. It was, they had to do something to write her off, but whatever. There was a four-way X Division match. Caleb Conley was in it, DJZ, Braxton Sutter. The Martian Rocket guy was in. Apparently, he's a heel because it was 3-on-1. So that was it. So Ali does a fucking flip onto Marche Rocket, and then Sutter hits. He's got this fisherman's neck breaker that he does. It's like a fisherman suplex hook, but then he spins it to a neck breaker. So he won. And that was when Laurel came out and she was all drunk and yelling and all
yeah.
that shit. Dude, did you see the way they wrote the Hardys off of TV?
Where did they just like teleport? They were at the,
dude, this was fucking amazing, and it was one of the best things I ever saw, and it was a fucking, it fit the entire Hardy story and the craziness of it. First of all, Jeff had a sparring match with Smoke and Joe Frazier to train, who's a kangaroo, and he fucking kicked him in the balls at one point. I think that might have been replayed in a very early episode when they were doing this shit, because he fucking kicked him in the balls, and I think I remember Jeff Hardy, Matt saying hit him with the hind, which I remember referencing on the show. But then they had the premonition, and they were going to teleport to the next show. And when they teleported, the fucking, all of a sudden, Decay and Rosemary appears, the three of them, and the fucking tag belts are on the floor, and they pick them up. And they fucking said, oh my God, I can't believe it worked. And Rosemary's like, ah, fuck you, we messed with your bucket of bolts, talking about Vanguard 1. So I guess Decay's the new tag champs. But it was really fucking creative. Like, I mean, they had a pile of shit that the Hardys left. But the way they fucking did it, I fucking laughed so hard. I was like, wow, that's pretty fucking good. But you know what wasn't good? Sienna versus Rachel Ellering. Holy fuck, this match was bad. The commentary was bad. The wrestling was bad. I wrote UGG 3 times on my paper. And oh, here's another thing. If you're plugging that stupid show Schitt's Creek, don't use Schitt's Creek as Schitt's Creek when you're trying to fucking commentate. It's just fucking stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. I don't know.
Again, I'll take your word for it. I didn't really watch a whole lot of it, but it sounds pretty bad.
Well, here's the big thing. We got Bruce Pritchard comes out. Bobby Lashley comes out. He says TNA's dead. He mentioned a lot of WWE shit, which pissed Matt off. Alberto El Patron makes his debut and challenges him for the title. And then EC3 comes out. He goes, wait a minute. I want my match. And Lashley pretty much tells him to go fuck himself. So we've got Lashley against Al Patron Jesus Christ. Alberto El Patron tonight. Let me see. The Eddie Edwards shit. Cody came back. They fucking got rid of him. Lashley did an interview where he's talking about making Impact great. Nobody fucking cares. Dutch Mantel came out. And I like Dutch Mantel. I think he cut a good promo. It went way too long. And they piped in a lot of cheers for shit that they shouldn't have been cheering. But when he started mentioning guys from WWE, everybody cheered, of course. It was not great. The Decay thing, the title match, they talked about how July 2nd is going to be the 15th anniversary of Impact with a Slammiversary pay-per-view. Patron and Lashley, I didn't fucking watch the entire match, to be honest with you. That's where I kind of fucking left off on things. But if I remember my fucking premonition, I think El Patron won the title, didn't he? Am I wrong?
He did.
So there you go.
He did.
From what I saw in the match, it was actually pretty good. I think Lashley was letting Alberto call a lot of it, which actually stepped up his game quite a bit. So I got no arguments with that. The fucking commentary was awful. There wasn't really a lot of good about the show, so thumbs down for Impact this week. And that's all I got on that. I mean, I'll watch it again next week, or actually this week for Thursday. A couple of our friends will be debuting on the show. So make sure you check out Impact. Give them a chance.
Absolutely. I mean, I'll always give them the benefit of the doubt until, like, I just can't anymore. But now, especially because some of the people that we know that are going to be on the show are going to be there, I will 100% tune in. And I hope they do well. I hope they can contribute to the show and hope they can make it better than what it apparently was last week. So let's just hope for the best, even though it's meh TNA or meh Impact, whatever.
Yeah, it might be like meh packed. I don't know. I have to come now. You see,
that's amazing.
What, meh packed?
I like it. Let's work with it.
We don't need to work on it. I guess that'll be the name of the show. unless you've got anything else to add, we can go to questions and call it a night. So this way, I mean, we're already into SmackDown time, but you'll at least get a chance to catch a bulk of the show.
Yeah, we'll do the questions for sure. I mean, I think we answered a lot of them already.
Yeah, let me see. Kevin, your favorite moment from Saturday night? I guess it would be the title match or maybe the six-man? You talked about that stuff already. Anything else you want to mention? Anything else that stood out?
Let's see. There's a bunch. I get to hang out with Bruce Pritchard all night, first of all. That's, like, on my end.
Well, there you go.
That was amazing. He literally sat next to me the whole show all night, so I got to talk to him. That was cool. Other than from the actual show, the title match was probably my favorite part. Again, the whole show was good. It ran really smoothly. It's really hard for me to remember back about what exactly happened off the top of my head. Probably should have prepared, but again, I had the first 2 days from hell. Let's see.
Well, I mean, you covered you covered a lot of the show already. So at this point, you're just, you know, kind of
there's a lot of good. Joey Ryan was there against Beefcake Charlie, who I think is tremendous.
Now, does Joey Ryan, does he has a merch table? He'll take pictures with people, right?
Yeah, but I wasn't anywhere near any of the merch. I wasn't outside. I wasn't out from the back. Literally, maybe for a brief second. Intermission.
No, the only reason I ask is because I wonder if he takes pictures with people where they get to grab his dick. I'm, you know, not for me, for a friend of mine, of course, but.
Right.
Because, I mean, that's a gimmick in itself. I mean, I don't think he wants to get sued for harassment or anything like that or being inappropriate, but I'd give him a grab for a $10 Polaroid. I don't care, whatever.
Atta boy.
For the show, right?
Hey. Yeah, the show.
Could you imagine that a picture of me grabbing his dick? We hang it on this fucking on the wall in the studio here.
I'd be down for that.
All right, let's see. The Impact Owl. We went over that. Here, Marquise Harris. That's Rage. He suggests let's name the Impact Owl Josh Matthews and shoot it and eat it. Sounds good to me, brother. He also wants us to skip Meh TNA and go with Meh Raw from now on. A lot of people really didn't like Raw this week. I can't argue against that, but I don't know if we want to get rid of Meh Impact.
No, we're not getting rid of Meh Impact, but we're also, the title might be more appropriate because of the, it could be a coin flip.
Yeah, pretty much. Let's see. Rage also asked, with everything that's been going on, was CM Punk right? I think he was, but I want to hear your guys' take on it. I mean, right for leaving, right that the business is shit, right that the WWE sucks. I mean,
yeah. What are you asking us? I mean, he's right because it's his, and for lack of a better word, it's his right to leave. So yeah, if he wanted to leave, yeah, how could he be wrong?
Well, anybody that shits on WWE is right, but not right at the same time. I mean, is it the Triple H show? Absolutely. Is he pulling the strings? Yes. Is he against putting other people over? No, but if it's against him, he might be. So, I mean, he's right on certain things. I think the strange thing is, I wouldn't be surprised if he does come back at some point. That's just me. It might be a long shot, but I don't know if hell would necessarily freeze over if he came back. That's my take.
Nah, it's wrestling.
Of course. Bret Hart came back. Warrior came back. Bruno came back. Let's see. Matthew Bauman asks, what do you think of Christopher Daniels becoming Ring of Honor champion? We like that. Yes. Adam Cole heading to NXT. I think so. Otherwise, why would he drop the title? You know, he hasn't been champ all that long, has he? Or is this his third title? Was this his third title reign?
This is either second or third.
Second, yeah, so who knows? Should guys stop with the high-flying moves to the outside? The kid from Kingdom broke his shin Friday night. Can they make the guardrails padded? How can they make it safer? Don't fucking dive to the outside. How about them apples?
All right. Depends on what kind of dives. Like the topes or like I agree, like diving head first, like into like, somebody is a terrible, terrible move and should be phased out. But like, if you're doing like one of those like somersault gimmicks where you have like three or four guys, like
yeah, the thing out there. I mean, he broke his shin. My assumption is he was doing a moonsault to the outside from the ropes. You know, because how else would you be flipping and banging your shin on a guardrail?
Oh, he's talking about TK O'Ryan, isn't he?
Yes, that was it. I couldn't think of his name.
Oh, I didn't see that, but I feel awful for him, though, I'll tell you that.
Oh, of course. It was the same shit a couple months ago when Danny DeMonto fucking jumped to the outside and broke his femur, you know?
Yeah, I didn't see it, so you can't, it's just like everything, you can't, like, football, you can't take everything out of the game. You have to leave some
No,
of the
you
stuff
can't,
in.
But I mean, but look, it's like we've talked about all along. Put some of the shit back in the box.
Yeah.
You know, WWE goes to the outside. They also have a good 6 feet between the railing and the ring, if not more, especially where the commentary table is. There's a lot of room over there, especially if you're going up the ramp. A lot of these indie shows are in places where they hold 500 or 1,000 people. There's no fucking room.
I hear you. And, I mean, I guess it should be saved for, like, I don't know. This is a big show, no pun intended.
Well.
But, they're not safe, but it's wrestling. Wrestling is not safe.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I've said it for a long time. They got to cut back on a lot of this shit. I don't want to sound like, you know, these so-called old curmudgeons, but, you know, fucking high spots are high spots. You don't need to fucking use them as transitions, and you don't need to fucking get all your shit in all the time, you know?
No, I understand. Yeah, but I didn't see the show, so I didn't see what context they're using the match. I didn't see who did it, but it's Ring of Honor, so odds are a lot of people did stuff, so...
Well, I mean, part of the question was, can they make the guardrails padded? I guess.
And yeah, then how of can course. They... But dude, I'm sorry to cut you off. I brought this up a long time ago, and I just happened to listen to Ryback and Tapbox podcast, if not this week, the week before. But they honestly were asking for suggestions. What can we do? Like, what can we do to make it? Can you make them? Is there a way? Like, they don't even know, and they've been wrestling combined for God knows how long. And I've been thinking, like, well, I remember a show maybe over a year ago, maybe even longer. There's got to be something they can do for the ring. There's like, they're talking about making different football helmets. I mean, there's got to be something they can do to the ring to make it safer. So like, there's got to be something. But if they don't even know, what chance do I have to fucking know?
Holy
fuck. There's got to be something. But
Could you imagine if, like, if there's wrestlers with, like, full fucking football padding? Like, fucking shoulder pads, helmets, you know, ass pads?
I think we're talking more about the ring than the... There's got to be something they can do to make that ring, to make the ring less stiff. I mean,
the problem is, though, the softer and bouncier you make the ring, the harder it is to run. And you're going to fucking twist ankles and hurt your legs and your knees. Your knees are going to fucking hate it. You're going to shorten careers doing that. Just like if you're diving to the outside all the time, you're going to shorten your career. You really are.
Yeah. All right. So then I guess that's the answer. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, if Ryback doesn't know, if Top Buck doesn't know, and they were asking like people to tweet them, like, what can we do? What can we do? And then there's no chance that I know.
Well, so, tell them to talk to me. I'll give them some ideas. You guys, you got my number. Give me a call.
Yeah. All right.
Anything else you want to add before we pull this train into the station, as we say?
Nope. I just hope everyone was safe today in the storm. Some people got it less, some people got it worse. So hope everyone was good and can dig their cars out if they have to. And we'll be back next week, I guess. Maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, this is true. We will be back next week. We already announced that Joey Janela is going to be on next week, right? I mean, I'm not fucking shattering any glass ceilings telling anybody that, right?
Oh, God, I hope so.
Well, if not, fucking Joey Janela is scheduled to be in next week to hype up Janela Palooza. And in 2 weeks, like I said earlier, we have rescheduled Darius Carter before he heads down for the WrestleMania festivities for WrestleCon weekend. And I guess that's it. Yeah, I guess that's it. I could play the outro music, and if you want to hang on, we could bullshit for a minute or two. And I'll just let this...
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, say goodbye, Kevin.
This has been call time, so thank you guys very much for listening, and we'll see you soon. Bye!